I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. On Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
It is Dom time. Welcome in. Will Pierce was on with me. I've seen him many times on cable in the last year or two. He's a former advisor to Bernie Sanders, director for Draft Biden. I didn't know that part. And a guest often on Newsmax, Fox, columnist now for the Daily Caller. Let's go to Will Pierce here on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Will, welcome in. Thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me on, Dom.
Well, I didn't know. I don't know if they tell you who pops up in these things with Newsmax. I didn't know anybody else was even going to be on. You know, it's all last minute. But, Will, your journey from advisor to Bernie Sanders, et cetera, to columnist for Daily Caller, how did that happen?
Well, I think the Democratic Party over the years just has changed from, to be honest, a middle-class party like it was back in I hate to say, the good old days. Then and now it's a party of the liberal coastal elites. Perfect example, if you look at Michigan overall. In 2016, you know, it was a big blue state. Hillary Clinton was favored to win in the primary. Bernie Sanders won that. Then you had Donald Trump who won in that general election. And then nonstop during that period, you had insiders in the Democratic Party in Michigan screaming to the DNC and to the people in D.C. that control the Democratic Party, hey, wait, this message is not working here. But instead of changing their positions, changing who they are as a party and kind of getting with the times, they just stayed with the good, you know, with the old methods of, you know, like, oh, this is what we're going to do and that's what we're going to do. It didn't work. It didn't work then, and it's not working now. And that's why you just see countless Democrats leaving the Democratic Party. The same old story, the same old methods is not going to work. People are not focused on social issues. People are not focused on, you know, like abortion or foreign wars. They're focused on their pocketbooks and their wallets right now. And that's why I know that's why Donald Trump won this election last week.
Well, do you think it's a breakthrough for the Republican Party or Trump because we've seen his presidency? We see the comparison. That made a big difference here. It's the first time we're not back there with Grover Cleveland. I mean, it's not hard to see what he did and what he'll do again.
Absolutely. And I think the old saying of, you know, are you better off now than you were 4 years ago is a perfect example overall. And that's why Donald Trump just won groups and coalitions that, to be honest, a Republican have never run before. You know, if you look at the numbers for the black vote and also for the Hispanic community. But one thing also, like, when else are you going to have a candidate that can bring Jews and Arab Americans like he did in Michigan together? Where else are you going to, I'm not making it up, but progressive lesbians out in Washington State were supporting Donald Trump. And all of this should have been a message to the Democrats. I'm sorry, when you have $1 billion and you run a campaign like they did, I really think, I'm sorry, my dog or my 10-year-old son could, like, you do a better job than what they did out there.
Now, Bernie Sanders has been critical, but his message to working class, he likes what Biden did as far as the spending at the beginning of his term.
Yeah, and this is the thing I get often asked, you know, like, how do you go from Bernie Sanders to being a Trump Republican? I don't think there's that much of a difference. After Bernie Sanders ran in 2016, a lot of his support actually went over to Donald Trump. That's something that, like, a lot of people don't know about. It's, they kind of have the same populist message of, hey, we have to take care of the people who, you know, who, like, build this country first off before we take care of anyone else. And then the thing is, like, I like to say that Donald Trump is more Democratic than the Democratic Party itself. 2012. Look at what they did, you know, with Bernie Sanders in 2016. But also look what they did this past election, where they pretty much treated the election like a coronation of a king or a queen. They kicked out the nominee. They told everyone in the primary, no, you cannot run. Joe Biden's going to be the candidate. Then behind the scenes, you know, they pulled a little like last minute ploy of like putting Kamala Harris in there, and then like they expect people to be supporting for them. I'm sorry, it's just unacceptable.
Well, how about African-American voters? President Obama, usually more masterful, the scold that went on. Mrs. Obama did it, too. Trump moved the needle with African-American men a bit, but much more so with Latino men.
Yeah, but I think the vote total that he got with black men overall is kind of just a step in the right direction overall for the Republican Party. Typically the Democratic Party, they get upwards of 90-95% of the black vote. The fact that all election, I was pretty much saying it was going to be around 30% of the black vote was going to go for Donald Trump, and there were networks and other people that are saying, you're crazy. I'm sorry, I was wrong. It was around 27-28%. But still, two to 3% off. And I think it's very telling now that the Democratic Party, instead of opening their eyes and being like, hey, well, wait a minute, let's take a look at this, let's analyze it. What are the Democratic commentators doing on MSDNC? Instead, they're sitting there saying, oh no, all black men are misogynists. Oh no, all Hispanic people are racist. And it's like, no, wait a minute. You're sitting here saying that kind of messaging right now. And then in 2 to 4 years in the midterms and presidential election, you're going to ask for the black and for the Hispanic vote again. And we could just play the tapes back. They have been saying the same message. They have been doing nothing for these communities for years, but at the same time, they want to bring in countless illegals and provide them with social services, provide them with support when we have communities who are American citizens who cannot get by. It's unacceptable.
And we saw that in New York, and then whatever goes on in New York, well, people see nationally, and I think Governor Abbott did the right thing. He spread the pain people were feeling in Texas. New York was a principal spot where we see it, and to your point, people see, I don't know, Tom Homan today saying $500 a night hotel rooms. I know New York's pricey. My God, I hope it's not that. But they were at least $300 or $400 in that range every night for thousands and thousands of people, where the average American was told to have to sacrifice because of inflation.
It's unacceptable. During the election, me and my family, we were actually in New York just to do some media coverage and just to help out the campaign. And it's actually funny. We didn't even know it until we walked down the street. We stayed down the street from the Roosevelt, the hotel where they're staying. And I'm sorry, as soon as you go to one block, two blocks closer to that hotel, you feel like you're in a third world country. And this is the thing. You see the same thing that's going on in that community over there. You see it going on in San Francisco. You see it going on in Chicago. You see it throughout countless Democratic cities that have been Democratic strongholds for a while. And you cannot just sit here and say, oh, no, you know, like, it's going to get better. It's going to get better. I'm sorry. Let's look at New York, Chicago, San Francisco. Let's see how they've been going downhill for decades. And I'm sorry, you just want to push that narrative of, oh, the Democratic Party is better off. If they can't run their campaign and they're, you know, $20 million in debt right now, if they can't run the cities that they're in charge of, why are we going to give them our country?
Exactly. So, Will, where's the best place to find you on Twitter and your column? How often does it appear for the Daily Caller?
Yeah, so right now I'm writing for both the Daily Caller and for The Blaze. So I'm writing more for The Blaze, but you can find me on there, and then also you can find me on Twitter at Real Will Pierce as well.
Well, Will, it was a find. I invite you back again whenever you see something here. You know, my guys, just let us know. We'd love to talk with you. It was a pleasure to be on with you.
Same here. You have a good day, sir.
Thank you very much. Will Pierce here on Talk Radio 1210, and we'll keep him in our circle and bring him back here with us. Imagine going from Bernie Sanders populism to Donald Trump populism. All right, phone lines are 855-839-1210, AT&T, and Verizon Wireless. All you have to do is just push pound 1210, and you'll get on board. Again, side question today. Something, thanks to Minnie, we're always open to people submitting a side question, something that is worth the calories. All right, something that's not worth just about anything, but this shows you the attempted attitude on the other side. The Inquirer runs this today. Here's the headline: how GOP messaging broke through a booming economy, booming, to reach Trump voters. And they interview people like a guy who was formerly a steam fitter. They interview another woman who had to give up her gym membership because of inflation. And then they come to this Villanova, the head of the economics department, Erasmus Kurtzling, a Villanova University economics professor and department chair. And he says, was this genuine economic grievance, or was it a very successful misinformation campaign? In other words, this article tries to run you through the idea that the GOP successfully convinced people that inflation, their economic standing, and they linked it to immigrants or something else. In other words, all these social problems are somehow or another causing you to be in that situation, rather than we know what caused it. Now, this guy's an economics head. Does he really not know what caused this situation? And again, they cite every other macroeconomic development. Look at this and look at that. And then people say, like Joe Scarborough the other day, by the way, thanks to a lot of people over the weekend, Henry found that one. I don't know if we still have it here in the sheet, where Scarborough talked about butter being expensive. Is that what people are going to vote on? He thought it was $3 and it was $7. And this is reverberated. So can you imagine still trying to sell the idea to people that they got you to vote because of hatred? They got all these other elements in there. And that kind of connected it to the economic situation that you're in, your lot in life, when really it's not connected. So do they not believe the average American is hurting and it's due to Joe Biden and Harris and what they did to create this environment with inflation? That's the issue. It's not all these other factors they keep on talking. Well, why don't you want to look at them? Because people are living their lives, spending their money, making decisions in this vice of inflation that's baked in. We had Dave McCormick on, and he talked about some of the things that would get rid of this, to debake it, if you will, not just the rate, but the actual inflation, energy. And then he talked about excessive spending and cutting down on that. That's the way that you start to roll this back. They don't want to do that. They don't want to admit to what they did, but that's exactly what this was about. And Trump and the Trump persona was able to break through with a lot of people. I mean, it was there all the time, but he's the one that was able to break through with this. All right, 855-839-1210, a booming economy. What's the definition of that? Is it the unemployment rate, or is a booming economy what people can actually buy and afford? Isn't that the definition of it? Isn't that always what it comes around to? Why do you want to escape that? Because you caused it. And this is what people were revolting against. Are you better off than you were 4 years ago? Absolutely, we're not. And we had, as I just said with Will, a president to compare what he did versus what they did, back to back. You don't get that ever, almost. All right, hit us on the side question. Love to get your response to this. Where's this booming economy? In other words, this whole approach is to say that they switch things here, they put things together, misinformation. Must be nice to be out there in Villanova talking about possible misinformation. What's the misinformation here? Did Biden cause inflation? Of course he did. And what did that do to the average middle class, particularly American or lower middle class? It really made things tough, really made them have to make decisions that they should be able to afford, but they can't. I don't know if you get that at Villanova or not. Maybe not. Maybe you're more insulated from that. Where's the misinformation here? Well, they got them all roused up because of blaming immigration and all that. No, they made the case of what Biden did also. We know that. All right, we're coming to your calls, though. You can get in at 855-839-1210. But right now, it is time for...
It's Dobbs Money Melody.
Where has all the money gone?
All right, great prize today. You'll win a pair of tickets to see Joe Conklin with the City Rhythm Orchestra's The Story of Philadelphia Sports Through Music. That's on Saturday, November 23rd at Newman Goretti High School in South Philly. For tickets, visit joeconklin.com. I'll be there introducing Joe. I think it's a 7 p.m. start. It's going to be a great night in South Philly. Henry, what's the backstory?
Yeah, so in honor of our side question today of what is worth the calories, I'm yes. going to play a song that's about food. And I want the artist that sings the song. Simple enough?
Yep.
You may remember this song from the early 2000s if you're old enough. We'll see if people do. All right, here we go. Off right there.
Yeah, a lot of food.
No chorus. No chorus.
No chorus. All right. Hit us with that at 855-839-1210. And you're off. Joe Conklin puts on a heck of a show. Special to me. This will be in South Philly. 855-839-1210. Jump in. Get that prize right out of the box to kick off.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Monday.
It's Dom Money Melody.
Where has all the money gone?
Show me the money.
Well, that is exactly right. So food, what's worth the calories? I see some great ones on Twitter. You can still hit us with that at 855-839-1210. Just tell us, Henry, we're looking for...
The name of the group that sings the song.
Name of the group that sings the song today. Here's a little bit of it. I think we got the flavor. Let's go to Bill in Center City. Bill, what's the name of the group singing the song?
I don't know the original or what they call themselves, but is it Hippie? La Ketchup?
All right. No, that's not it. Earl of Tacony. Earl, who's singing?
Would that be Lost Ketchup?
It is. All right, Earl, you are headed off. Oh, we'll have to get you into that if you're down there in South Philly. Yes.
Yes, and they got their name from the fact that their father was a famous flamenco musician by the name of the Tomato. So since they're the daughters of the Tomato, they called themselves Los Ketchup.
Very nice.
But the song is actually based, the story of the song is the girls are at a nightclub, and they're listening to someone that is singing to the music, but he's singing the music wrong. The song is actually Rapper's Delight by the Sugar Hill Gang. You know, hip hop, a hippity hop. And he's singing the words of the song wrong, and that's what they're making fun of in the song.
Very nice, Earl. I'll put you on hold, and we'll get you set up for Joe Conklin in South Philly with me, November 23rd, Newman Goretti High School. It's a fundraiser, too, for a couple parishes there. For tickets, visit joeconklin.com. All right, we'll talk with Scott Rutter, to Colonel Scott Rutter, to round out Veterans Day here. But 855-839-1210, you get in. This is sent to me by a number of police cops over the weekend. This is what still goes on in Philadelphia. There was a debate before this committee about historic preservation, which when you do that, it adds significance to things. You don't want to preserve everything and say it's historic. And it was about the roundhouse. I bet everybody listening is going by the roundhouse. Used to be police headquarters. It's famous because of the construction right down there on, is it on Vine or Cow Hill? And it was up for historic preservation. Well, this guy that heads the historical commission and others, apparently, at the hearing, and I'm looking at the Inquirer here, they said it's not worthy of it because of the racism. Like, a building has racism. Holding cells that make your stomachs turn, said the head guy, Frankel. There are many, many Philadelphians who consider this to be a monument to brutality. He also argued it would be the wrong move because of other development. I can imagine now a building is racist. That's exactly what this is. This building is racist. We can't preserve that. Once again, we're going back to this nonsense. Is it historic or not? Does it meet the qualities of they preserve this, they do this? You know what this is like? It's like the Rizzo statue, things of that nature, which, by the way, I'm on that committee. I'll let you know when the next meeting is. I know because of the election and everything, it's kind of on hold, but it'll be happening. And we'll see where the Rizzo statue ultimately gets placed. And I'd love to have a huge event around that. You know, it's got to be in a safe spot, the whole nonsense with the maniacs that are out there. Maybe next to Columbus. I don't know. A twofer. Easier to protect everything there. That's gone well with the Columbus statue. So can you imagine the roundhouse? And look, they said other things. But in fairness, the bottom line seems to me here, this guy and some of these on this historic commission, they didn't want to do it because people say that would be a monument to racism and brutality. All right. And I could see a pivot toward what the big story I thought coming into today, Veterans Day, was Tom Homan named as border czar. Now, you may remember, he'll be back on the show. He was the head of ICE. And he talked about on several shows now what he plans to do, what this will be about. I like Cut 24. We haven't played this one yet, Henry. Here is Homan with his message to sanctuary cities and what's going to happen now going forward as far as they're going to come into sanctuary cities, so-called, and they're going to take out the criminals, national security threats that are here illegally. Here's Homan's rant towards sanctuary cities.
Cut 24. Especially on the left. Again, I, you know, when you have a historic crisis, a crisis this big, here's what they need to know. When you have a crisis this big that overwhelms the Border Patrol, where the majority of Border Patrol are no longer on patrol, they're making sandwiches, they're changing diapers, they're making baby formula, they're making hospital runs, they're making airport runs. When you take most of Border Patrol agents off the border to deal with humanitarian crisis, that's when the fentanyl comes across to kill a quarter million Americans. That's when the sex trafficking has increased 600%. That's when no suspected terrorists have crossed this country. They've had a record of people on terrorist watches that have been arrested at the southern border. That's why you have over 2 million gotaways. How many of them came to our country sponsoring terror? So I don't care what anybody's opinion is on illegal immigration. When you create a crisis this big, all these other bad things happen. That's why you have to secure the border. I don't care if you're Republican, a Democrat, or independent. Border security is national security. We should all be on the same side of that. I've been saying this for the last couple of years. And the director of the FBI actually agrees with me. I don't respect him greatly, but he agrees with me. The Southwest border is the biggest national security vulnerability this nation's ever seen. He sees more red flags now than ever before. We have to secure the border. And as far as the people want to push back on deporting these people, what is the option? You have a right to claim asylum. You have a right to see a judge, and we make that happen. But at the end of that due process, and the judge says you must go home, then we have to take them home. And because if we're not, what the hell are we doing? If the judge's order doesn't mean anything, then shut down the immigration court, take the border border to off the border. There's no consequences violating the laws of this country. We'll give you a fair shake. You get a chance to claim asylum, but due process doesn't mean squat if the final decision of the court isn't carried out. What is the option? Let them all stay? Because if that's the option you want, you're never going to fix the southern border, because you send a message to the whole world. Come to the United States, enter the country legally, which is a crime. Don't show up in court, or show up in court and get an order of removal, but you still get to stay. That doesn't work.
Tom, I guess you just got to build a wall, and you got to stop sanctuary cities. Both times the Democrats stopped every time he went forward, they gum you up in court. You don't have to give it away, but is there a plan if sanctuary cities, these city councils, don't allow the sanctuary cities to go away? Is there a plan B you have?
Well, I think, look, it'd be great to have local law enforcement assist ICE, because, you know, one thing we learned during 9/11 report was we shouldn't have stovepipes. Law enforcement should work on law enforcement. But, you know, there's two things. Number one, under President Trump, he was suing the sanctuary cities. DOJ sued the sanctuary cities, pulling federal funds. Of course, day one, when Joe Biden came in office, he stopped that lawsuit. So that has to be put back in place. And look, I've seen some of these Democratic governors say they're going to stand in the way. They're going to make it hard for us. Well, I you know, a suggestion. If you're not going to help us, get the hell out of the way, but we're going to do it. So if we can't get assistance from New York City, and I may have, you know, we may have to double the number of agents we send to New York City.
All right, we got the message here. Now, a couple things I predict going to happen here. One, it's not going to be mass deportations or whatever, and I don't think the average person listening now wants that or thinks that early on. It's not going to be that way. It's going to be going after criminals they've targeted, national security threats, etc. But this sanctuary city thing has to be done early on, gone after them, pick out one, and make an example out of them. I don't care which one you pick out. That's the way to go. And in addition to that, once we do that, there's going to be a dragging it out. There'll be several federal judges, etc. I don't know what Trump's going to try to do by executive order around sanctuary cities. But I think early on, they're going to target and take in and remove from the country the very people Homan was talking about there. And then we'll be off to the races. And I mentioned this earlier today. The Inquirer had a big piece about these churches in the Philadelphia area that will offer sanctuary, resistance, etc. What is the Catholic Church, the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, going to say about all this? I wish they would say something like, we have to follow the law here. And if you're here illegally, particularly where this is going to be with criminals / national security threats, position of the Catholic Church is we follow the law. All right. But Homan is exactly the right guy on this. It's not going to be the military. It's going to be targeted with ICE agents who are surgical, know what they're doing. And yet there will be a firestorm sometime before the end of January. This will start to take place. And you heard what Kilmeade asked there about, well, what are you going to do if they won't comply, they won't help? He said, we're going to go in anyhow. Are they going to try to block them? I don't think so. All right, here are the phone lines. 855-839-1210. We need to get an answer here, something that's worth the calories. My good friend, Colonel Scott Rutter, the man who led the attack that captured Baghdad Airport way back when, the pride of Northeast Philadelphia, and real good friend of Alan West, he's with us next. Every Veterans Day, we try to talk to Scott. He works with a lot of veterans groups. What do they need? What is the thing that's in the forefront of the minds around that? But we'll get a lot more of your calls in and get a winner today to put your name into the hat. 855-839-1210. All right, it is Dom time. Happy Veterans Day, and thanks to all veterans. And we'll talk with Colonel Scott Rutter about that coming up. You heard my big list today. We had a lot of fun with that. If you have a big list suggestion, always willing to do it. Look, and don't be sore about it if you think, well, I didn't like where you put that one. And you can put your own list up on my Twitter. Tell me at DomShow1210. Linda Kern's a good sport on this. I know thinks number one over Scott Presler. Both did. Well, somebody put up on Twitter, I don't know in Arizona, but if they had Linda Kearns there and Scott Presler, Carrie Lake would have won. Well, that's saying something, because I don't think Carrie Lake is a good candidate. And we have to have better candidates for the Senate. That was a winnable seat. But yeah, I think if Presler and Linda Kearns were there, would have been a much better outcome. Scott Rutter is a leader from the Gulf War, led the attack that captured Baghdad Airport. Then he became a Fox News correspondent, once calling me from one of the bathrooms of Saddam Hussein in one of the palaces, live. I remember that. And he's very involved with veterans groups, trying to help families of veterans. And always we like to hear from him, particularly on Veterans Day. Hey, Scott, how are things? Happy Veterans Day. Thanks for joining us.
Happy Veterans Day to you, Dom, and your audience. Always appreciate your help. It's been an amazing journey from Sterling Optical to now. So thanks for letting me speak, sir.
Yeah, I remember that. Everybody sucking in their guts. Rutter was there in full uniform. I remember at Sterling Optical, we were doing a remote when he came by on a Saturday. And then we went to Gitmo together, and he was instrumental in getting us on the air out of Guantanamo Bay. Scott, this Veterans Day, how are things looking for veterans overall? You're in touch. What's the biggest need? Are things improving?
Absolutely, Dom. You know, the morale that we have right now and the efforts of the audience and individuals, we've got to continue that. Veterans need jobs. Jobs, jobs, jobs. There's no excuse for them not to have jobs. Think about it. If we gave every small business $40,000 for hiring a veteran, you could do the math. You're even going to save money with that. We have to keep them busy. Out of the 900 soldiers that I had the honor to command, that's the number one attack that they want to make sure that gets out to people, that when we welcome these soldiers back, the sailors, Marines, 4 or 5 rotations downrange and vice versa, there's no excuse for them not getting jobs.
Yeah, people that wake up every day with a mission and all day long, that's exactly the people that you want to work with you, their perspective, et cetera. So, Scott, you're involved with several groups, but I think you have one principal one we always talk about.
Yes, Dom, the Tragedy Assistance Program for Survivors. This concentrates on the children and the family members and all those that are grieving a loss of a service members. We're there once the family receives the word. We help them transition, and we focus them in order to get on to the next step of their life ever so gingerly. And we've been very adamant concerning laws. You know, years ago, if you moved to a state and you didn't live there for 2 years, you had to pay out-of-state tuition. Oh, by the way, your father was killed at a particular installation or in Iraq. By the way, you got 60 days to get off post, and you're not graduating the high school that you attend on post. So we've been very instrumental in getting out there and focusing on those needs and helping people get back into their efforts.
Scott, how about the issue? And I don't want to be political with you, but we see this constantly, and I think you correctly put it in place a few times we've had you. Hopefully, we're going to see the military become less woke and more about merit, which when you think of the military, that's the first thing you think of, the best and the brightest people volunteering, merit.
Absolutely, Dom. And I think that has existed in its entirety. And I think, you know, the soldiers, the great non-commissioned officers that I had the opportunity in order to fight with and so forth, they knew that this was going to change. And they are basically concentrating on blocking and tackling and doing what they were trained to do. And now there's going to be a whole group of leaders coming in that are going to be supporting them and getting out there and doing what they do best.
And I meant that, Scott, at your rank and up, and Colonel West says this all the time, colonels, generals, etc., if they feel that you advance, not because of your politics, but because you're the best at what you do, inspiring leadership, the stuff you told me about being in the motor pool, seeing what's going on in your unit, particularly when you're in a desert with sandstorms and all, those are the people we want to advance. That's what it's supposed to be about.
Absolutely. And all of us came into the service in order to protect our country, in order to learn a skill and move ahead and make things better for the United States. And that's what today is recognizing. It's those veterans. We have Memorial Day for individuals that we have lost, but this is a special day. And I know it transitioned from Armistice Day and so forth, but this is something that we want to make sure that those veterans out there, that we recognize them. At the same point, our mission is not over. Jobs, jobs, jobs. Got to make sure we got the right health care out there for them and different support within various communities.
So, Scott, I hope you're going to be coming home from the holidays. I haven't seen you in quite a bit. What is the group? Give us the website or where do we go for the group that you mentioned?
Sure. It's called the Tragedy Assistance Program for Survivors, TAPS, like the bugle, TAPS.org. You can check it out. I serve as the treasurer. I don't take a salary. You know, we got a great group of individuals. We bring children in from all over the country and all over the world if they're deployed or if they're away or something every year in Washington, D.C. What a novel event to see about 3,000 children come together and actually share their experiences of losing a father, losing a mother, or mother and father losing a child.
Absolutely, Scott. Keep up the great work. Hope to see you soon.
Absolutely, Dom. Take care. And again, thanks for all your support throughout the years.
Colonel Scott Rutter here, the guy who was our liaison getting us into Gitmo. That's got to
really?
Be top 10. Oh, yeah. We broadcast from Gitmo, the first radio, only radio broadcast that I know of in 2001, I want to say.
Wow.
Yeah. And actually got to see people that were the killers there about as far away as I am from you in your producer studio there playing Jeez. Soccer and sitting on picnic benches and look like I could kill you if I wanted to right now.
Hopefully they were through thicker glass than
No,
this.
It wasn't glass. It was open. There were a lot of guards there. They yeah. would have been shot, I hope, but who knows? You know, we got to walk through the prisons and all their spitting, yelling stuff, you know, et cetera. Let's go to Bill in Bucks on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Bill, good afternoon.
Good afternoon there, Dom and Henry. I just wanted to relate my experience on election night as a poll worker in Bucks County.
Okay.
I just wanted to mention that we were running these little vote pads, which are digital things, and I was checking people in and giving them a official ballot. And every once in a while, maybe one out of six or one out of eight, I typed in their name and it said, check ID. And what that meant was, when we were told, is they're a first-time voter. So this went on and on and on all night. So there were a lot of first-time voters come to that precinct. So I believe it's the work of Presler. Scott Presler brought that in. Because you remember back in July, I said, yep, he flipped Bucks County red on registrations. And election night, it showed.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to imagine, as great as these others were right there in Bucks County, Presler, Worthington, Linda Kearns, that's part of the Mount Rushmore, Scott. This guy
was... That's a three-legged stool.
Yeah, these guys were magical. He was magical. So give us your thing.
Exactly.
You got a great one, I think. Something worth the calories.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. They have a location, and only one as far as I know, and it's on Mercer Street. At East Lehigh Avenue. I'm talking about Stock's Bakery.
Yes, legendary. Legendary. Why don't they do more?
Cake.
People love that pound cake. Thank you, Bill. With the holidays coming up, it's legendary, Stock's. I've seen it occasionally at Captain Chuckie's. I don't know which locations or where. I think the one I go to. Legendary. It doesn't look like it's that calorie-laden, but yeah, it might be.
Pound cake?
Pound cake.
It's right in the name. It'll add those pounds.
Yeah, well, I'm going to tell you, I don't know why people wait to the holidays. It's in a difficult neighborhood, but they do distribute. I don't know why they haven't gone to other branches. Legendary in Philadelphia. That is a very good one. All right, that's what we're looking for. Something that is worth the calories. Thanks to Minnie for suggesting that. Hey, let's talk about Dr. Benz. He's my friend, Dennis, board-certified prostodontist. The Benz Dental Group in East Norriton. And over the years, I've told you any number of things that I've seen with Dr. Benz, you know, my own treatment, the things that he's gotten me, persuaded me. I was reluctant, the electric toothbrush, the water pick now twice a day. He's a very persuasive guy, but he meets the patient where they are. He'll work with you on what you're going to do, what he's seeing, that initial evaluation, and come up with a plan. And each time you go for treatment, he'll tell you what the plan is going forward, how it fits into the big picture. Now, all this great care is backed up by a great staff, but unbelievable technology. We've kidded about, Dan and I, the 3D printer, the consistency, the precision. His guy, John, though, is the artisan that oversees that part. So you've got the best of world-class technology and world-class people working there. So is it any wonder other dentists send for complex cases routinely people to Dr. Bentz? Any wonder that people that are nervous, a little bit of anxiety about the dentist, they fit in beautifully here. It's all there. If you're looking for a great dentist, maybe you think you're having a problem, you're a little bit dissatisfied, you haven't been to a dentist in a while, get a look-see with Dr. Bentz. Make that initial appointment right now. And again, you'll see the treatment that I get every day. Tell them Dom sent you, Dr. Bentz, BentzDentalGroup.com or 610-272-6949. 610-272-6949. The Bentz Dental Group. Say it with a smile.
The time has come for the final test.
We usually call it the lightning round.
That is right. And Dom's lightning round, sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo. Right now, lease an all-wheel drive XC90 for as low as $687 per month using all applicable rebates. See store for details. They always go the extra mile for their customers because relationships matter at Cherry Hill Volvo. Just check the group that we use for political odds making. They have it at about 59% that Senator Rick Scott will be the majority leader. We heard from Dave McCormick about that today, and immediately people on Twitter, he's going to vote for Cornyn. I didn't hear that at all. So we will see. I think it's going to be Rick Scott, and I think that's the right choice. All right, today's side question. Hit us with something that is certainly worth the calories. Had some great ones. Let's go to Earl in Tacony. All right, Earl, what's yours today?
Let's see if I can do a twofer today. If you want to hold off on the economy for now, I'll just go right to my point. I know pineapple doesn't belong on a pizza, but nothing like pineapple on a cheesecake or even a cherry cheesecake. Or I found a place this week that sells raspberry cheesecake.
Yeah, I like the cherry cheesecake.
I'm a sucker for raspberry cheesecake.
Oh, good. That might be a little out of bounds. I got to think about the raspberries
It's
a little
bit
off. All right, the cherry. It's American is cherry pie. Richard in Summerdale. Richard, what do you have today?
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I just wanted to ask first, can we get Scott Pressler over here in New Jersey to sign people up for the gubernatorial election next year?
You know what? Next time we have him on, I'm going to try to convince him that that is a point of emphasis, that we think it's winnable, and that would be the guy. Yes, give him whatever he needs and turn him loose in Jersey.
Well, twist his arm. Get him over here.
You know what? I'm putting him on the docket for tomorrow.
Yeah, okay, good. Yeah, I'm the Republican committeeman for Summerdale over here for the county. So we'd like to see him over here.
Gotcha.
I just got off the for a ceremony for Veterans Day on the Battleship New Jersey, and they had the original 98-year-old Rosie the Riveter on there to meet. And it was a really good ceremony we had.
You know what, Henry, write that down for after the show. Richard Hallemans, write that down after the show. Side question tomorrow on Rosie the Riveter. You and I will come up with an angle. I think that's a good one. It'll be in the news.
Okay, and my guest for today is tiramisu, which I used to make quite often and a very good dish.
Absolutely.
Fantastic.
All right, I think of that Horn and Hornets rice pudding just to get Dan crazy with the automat. He can't stand it. He literally.
Rice pudding from the automat?
Oh, he hates the automat.
That's a little too much.
All right, Gary in Newtown. Gary, what's yours today? Gary?
Hey, Tom, can I share something that happened to you? Hello?
Yes. Go ahead, Gary.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
Can I share something that happened to me at my Barnes & Noble
sure.
over the weekend?
Got about 15 seconds on it, dude. Go ahead.
Okay. I went up to the clerk and I said, hey, do you have Donald Trump's new book on how to deport illegal immigrants? And he said, in your voice, get the hell out of here and don't ever come back. And I said, yeah, that's the one. I need that in paperback.
All right, Gary. What's your calorie thing?
Chili's triple-decker appetizer. It goes all the way up to 3,900 calories and 4,500 grams of sodium.
Oh, I love the sodium content on that. All right, Henry, let's hear some of the contenders here.
Well, I think Gary's got to be in there just for
Chili's
triple-dipper.
Yeah, that's true.
I also liked the answer of Stock's Bakery's pound cake. I think that's very specific. And Robert and Ben Salem's answer of Thanksgiving dinner.
Oh, boy. So what's your favorite, though?
I mean, I'm a sucker for Thanksgiving dinner. I go all out at Thanksgiving. You want to see me eat calories, you come to my house at Thanksgiving.
And I go with Thanksgiving. The Stock's was very good, though. It was a good call. We'll put Robert and Ben Salem in. Yeah, we'll see. That's not a bad idea. I like that. Scott Presler, get him over to Jersey. That's a winnable governor's race. I'm hoping with Jack Cittaroli. But whoever the Republican is, it's winnable. That would be the major event in this coming year. We want to get on the ground floor. All right. Thanks to Henry for producing today. Dan, back tomorrow, I'm hoping, from a little bit of illness today. Yep. Follow on Twitter at DomShow1210, at DomShow1210. Rich is next for 4 big hours to start the week here on Talk Radio 1210. WPHT.
Dom Giordano. Weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210. WPHT.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.